Yani oluyor.
All of all our visitors, I would like to also welcome the support staff. The apologies that we have, we have a standing apology from Honorable Eunice Nyalungu, who is unwell and is likely to come back only in May. Honorable McLaughlin has submitted an apology, and Honorable Law, Honorable Fick indicated that he is coming but he will be late. Members, there are two items on the agenda. The first is a presentation by the Budget Office, which will be accompanied by deliberation, and then we will do the minutes as the second item. We hope to finish by 11 o'clock. Because there are other meetings taking place starting from 11, in which some members are involved. So let's start. We'll allow this CBO to do the briefing.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you very much for this opportunity, which I highly appreciate to present to you, honorable members, on the NDP. Honorable Chair, this is an initiative that the PDO has undertaken. We understand that there is very little oversight over the National Development Plan. And as the PDO, we thought it would be an opportune time to take a review, Honorable Chair, honorable members, of where we are for the NDP targets and where we stand. That we give you, as the Standing Committee on Appropriations, the opportunity to engage with the NDP and deliver its targets. This is critical, of course, as you know, because the NDP is the guiding framework for budgetary allocation and for prioritization. So it's important that you understand where we are with the targets, how far the targets have been met, and in how you look at reprioritization in terms of appropriation, but also, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, in terms of the National Development Plan as the planning framework. For us. So, Chair, I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Ms. Lilia Olandi, who is our Deputy Director for Policy. We also have Dr. Dumisani Yankis, who is our Deputy Director for Finance. And then I've got Abigail Siglitz, who is a researcher in the PBO. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Prof. And morning, members. Thank you, Chair Sussman, for the opportunity. Just before I start the presentation, I just want to highlight this presentation is just the highlights of the 14 reports that we did on each and every outcome. 12 of the reports have already been distributed. The last two, we're just doing some edits, and then they will be distributed this week as well. So the presentation will have to be read with those reports as well, because these are only the highlights of the real reports. I just want to start with the methodology, and members are welcome to also recommend further improvements how it is to the future, because it was basically a manual process that we used. We used executive summary of the NDP document, and then we used program of action report that is on the website of UPME. It's basically reporting on the NTSF framework, and then we used the NTSF framework document to do the assessment. Basically, we mapped all the actions of the NDP and the actions that is in the medium-term framework, and we try and match them to see whether there is alignment. But it was a manual process and might be subjective, because the word is never the same. Some of the human knowledge are different, but we really tried our best to see where we can match these actions. Just to start off with the progress that we've made in 2014-15 on the outcomes. Outcome 1, in terms of education, only achieved 37% of the target. Outcome 2 is on 45%, or was on 45% at the end of December, or the end of March 2015. Arkham 3 was on only 29% of targets.
One moment. Is this for the financial year 2014-15?
We've only got results for 2014-15 on the program of action. So in terms of Arkham 4, around 45%, 5 is skilled and capable workforce, is on 52%. Arkham 6, in terms of our economic infrastructure network, is on 46%. Comprehensive rural development didn't achieve any of their targets. Human settlements are on 13%. Arkham 9 was on 64%. Arkham 10, 29%. Arkham 11, 44%. Arkham 12, 39%. 13 was on 27%, and 14 on 42%. Members just realized that this might not be a true reflection of what the department said in terms of the outcomes, because the reporting was very, in some cases there are no systems in place to collect data in terms of the indicators that they set. Some of the quality reporting that is not aligned to the indicator. So there was a lot of quality issues in the reporting. So this must be not a true reflection of the progress in terms of the NDP.
Would you give us an idea that if you're maybe up by what percentage, you would give us an idea whether you know it's worth looking into this report? Because if it's really way out, then there's no point. But if it is,
Throughout the presentation, in terms of each outcome, I'll identify what the issues were within, but I won't be able to give you a percentage on the scale of the outcome. But this is in terms of the bit of our ability that we could judge the achievement against the targets of that set. And we gave them the benefit of the doubt anyway, in most of the cases. In terms of outcome one, basic education, there was good alignment between the NDP actions and what the NCSF suggests. The NDP recommendations that were not fully addressed in the NCSF was incentive schemes for good performing schools, top performing schools should be supported and not saddled with unnecessary burdens, union influence in promoting or appointing principals. So these are the things that were remembered by the NDP but were not taken up by the NCSF and for the program of action. In terms of progress in basic education,
if I may, Chair, I think the question raised by Honourable Chair is important.
Mm.
I think what we need to say here is, if you look at the hard facts in terms of the NDP outcomes, the indicators we've given you is a true reflection. They haven't achieved, for example, 45%. So I think that's the critical part, Chair.
Yeah.
I think what we're doing with each of this now is, because we've prepared a report for each of the indicators, there's 40. If we take this now and we say, why is the reason that they haven't achieved, for example? What are some of the underlying reasons for not? Then these are some of the reasons for them not achieving, in simple sense. So when you interrogate them and when they come, you can say, well, according to this indicator, you haven't achieved, you only achieved 39%. What are the reasons for that?
Yeah.
And you will have this as a background, you know, and you will say, are these the reasons? And you ladies really explain to you what the reasons are. If they have indicators or haven't reported accordingly, they need to say that. Because we want to drive them to report accordingly, with quality indicators, etc., etc. So that's the purpose, Honourable Chair, for Honourable Members, for this report. So at this stage, take it as a given, and say, you haven't achieved, or you've only achieved 39%, and these are our reasons for our analysis. What are your reasons, as department, for not achieving? Now also remember, there's some departments who, for example, if you take, say, outcome, where you have cooperative governance. You've got three or four departments that are there. So, remember you mentioned three or four departments under one outcome. And that would be the reason for not achieving the 39. So you might have cooperative governance achieving all the targets. Rural development doesn't achieve anything. So, remember that as well in this case. But it gives you a good sense of what the outcomes are and where it's not been achieved. And that's why going through, for example, each of these will indicate you what are the problems in each of these outcomes as a program issue. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Honourable honorable member.
Yeah. Currently, there's no information coming through for 1516 on the program of action. Yesterday, we received performance information on the third quarter of all national departments. So we were also provided with presentation on that analysis. I don't know whether that will indicate what are the how they improve on in 2015-16.
Chair, if I may, it's an excellent question. I think the first point you need to realize is, why is it only 2014-15? As part of the problem with the NDPs, there's no report on it. There's no oversight of the National Development Bank by the legislature. At this point, there's no. They might have in the individual committees department will come and say, well, you know, we align to the NDP, but they don't really do it. And there's also no overall committee or commission from Parliament that oversees the National Development Bank. And part of this is, no one sees the need to come to Parliament and account for where we are with the NDP at this point. So that's why we don't have this information. And that's why this is the first, if you look at our methodology that we indicated, we took their existing reports from departments, some of the information from, I think, the DPME, the Monitoring and Evaluation, their kind of annual reports, to give you an idea of, you know, where we are. And the point we want to make is, honorable days, maybe it's time that we do call in, you know, whoever's responsible for the NDP and say, come and account to us, overall, at Parliament, you know. And not just account to us as departments in that regard. So the lack of information is one critical area, honorable member, which I think you've raised. And why is it not coming through? A critical issue that we need to thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Just in terms of one of the highlights that I want to highlight here in terms of the performance, the annual national assessment results in most of the categories and grades were below target. One specific extreme example is that only 2.9% of grade 9 learners achieved the required level in the NS for maths against the target of 60 in 2014-15. Outcome goals in terms of performance in health. There is good alignment between the actions recommended by the NDP and the NDSA. Some areas has not been addressed by the NDSA is in terms of human resources, determination of a minimum qualification for hospital managers they're not reporting on, the availability of hospitals now in the public sector, and health worker morale has not been identified as the indicator to report on in the NDSA. Okay. A reduction of injury, accidents, and violence by 50% from 2010 values is also not reported on in terms of health. Some of the targets that is not reached or achieved is that two of our hospitals do not comply with the standards of the Office of the Health Standard Compliance, and the screening of grade 1 and 8 learners is was at 23.2% and 8.6% against targets of 30 and 25% respectively. The success of and the impact of medical students did not increase as at end of 2015. But in the adjustments budget, there was additional money allocated for this program to VITS. So this is one of the things that we need to monitor in health, whether we expand on this program and whether the intake increases for medical students. The success of the Cuban program is to be determined before the expansion is considered. That recommendation is not taken up in the NDSS. No progress has been reported on the refurbishment of health facilities in the NDSS. and the achieving our target of 1 million male medical circumcisions, they haven't achieved that target. The fatality rate of children under 5 years as a result of malnutrition has basically increased in 2014-15. In outcome 3, the estimate also shows alignment between the NDP and MTSF. Some of the shortcomings in the MTSF relates to the extension of compulsory community service to all law graduates. Basically, the NDP recommends this because they want to increase access to justice and that it will also assist in job creation. Mobilizing of youth with inner city safety, the enhancement of capacity of the corruption fighting agencies, public education should be part of mandate of the anti-corruption agencies, expand the scope of whistleblowers, protection to include disclosure to the public sector and the AG, and all corrupt officials should be made individual liable for all loss incurred as a result of their corrupt actions. These were the recommendations from the NDP that hasn't been addressed in the NCZ. In terms of outcome 4, decent employment through increased economic growth, there was only partial alignment between the NDP and the NTSF. Areas that were not presented in the NTSF are the NDP wants us to reduce cost of living for poor households. There are no indicators that we can monitor that. They want to reduce the cost of doing business through microeconomic reforms, no indicator to monitor this in the NTSF. And developing proposals for an acceptable minimum standard of living and how to achieve this over time. No indicators have been developed for any outside purposes. The removal of most pressing constraints on growth, investment and job creation. I don't know whether we know what the constraints are and whether we want to remove those constraints. Position of South Africa to attract offshore business services and building on that advantage provided by South African telecommunication, banking and retail firms operating in other countries. There are no indicators for us to monitor any action on this.
Yeah, I think this is a critical, the previous outcome is a critical indicator. I think the point that we raised here, Chair, is while the NDP says we need to achieve certain things, and they highlight some of the issues. Just go back to 4, please. And we highlight, for example, reducing the cost of doing business. There's no indicator specifically for that, you know. So how do we actually measure that one? And I think these are the issues as we go through, Chair, that our honorable members and our committee will pick up going forward. For example, the last Bodian Advantage, so that telecommunications, banking, retail firms. What indicators for that? You know, who are the departments responsible? How do we hold them accountable for these NDP actions in this sense? So I think these are critical issues, Chair, that we need to pick up as we go through this process. Thank you, Chair.
In terms of outcome 5, there's alignment between the NDP and NDSF, but some of the areas that are not taken up in the NDSF are the provision of access to full funding of all students who qualify for the NEFSA funding. Students who do not qualify for NEFSA should have access to bank loans backed by state securities, and then availability of services linked scholarships in areas such as nursing, teaching and social work. We don't have the indicators, so we can't monitor whether we increase on that recommendation. The relaxation of immigration requirements for highly skilled science and mathematics teachers, and all graduates from foreign countries should be granted 7-year work permits in South Africa. In terms of the performance that we did not achieve, the number of entry-level academic staff were provided with teaching and research development opportunities from the Teaching and Research Development Fund. We did not reach that target that we set for ourselves. And the number of eligible university students obtaining financial assistance, we didn't report on that. Number of artisans qualified, we don't know how many artisans qualified against the baseline. And establishment of a centralized application system for universities, we don't know what the progress are on that, and increasing percentage of graduates with ICT skills. In terms of outcome 6, an efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network. There was good alignment between the NDP recommendations and MTSA's. Areas that are not presented in the MTSA are the upgrading of fuel refineries, the importing of refined fuels. A decision on a new refinery will only be taken in 2017, so we need to monitor that target, and incorporating a greater share of gas in the energy mix. We don't know whether that has happened or it will happen. In terms of progress, most of the targets reflected has not achieved. This is why I wrote you that it might have done some work, but the most of the targets in this outcome is as a result of a department that did not submit reports. So there might be reports somewhere, but it hasn't been submitted for reporting and it's not on the website. The results are not there. The program action progress report does not reflect the progress in the strategic integrated projects. Although the preliminary outcome of the SIP for 2014-15 amounts to 110,000 million rand, but no reporting. They talk about all the SIP projects, but there's no reporting on it. And this year, we found in the 2016 budget review, there is a list. I think it's on page 135. There's a list of these projects, and there are. At this stage, but no reporting in terms of the NDP. Comprehensive rural development and land reform. There's alignment and the actions not taken up in the program of action. This was a very difficult one. The actions in the program of action covered such a wide variety of responsibilities. Some of these actions could be delegated to other departments. Such as energy, water, sanitation, and human development. The delegation of these responsibilities will really make it possible for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and give it the opportunity to concentrate on agricultural reforms and support. Because there are such a lot of indicators, a mix of indicators that's not really relevant to land reform, that we think that those things can rather be delegated to some of the other outcomes or sectors for them to concentrate on this process. And most of the targets for outcome 7 are only set for 2018-19. And human settlement, there's some alignment between the two documents, areas that are not presented in the NSF, there's substantial investment to ensure safe, reliable and affordable public transport, and improving the balance between location of jobs and people. Most of the actions reflected in the program of action are the responsibilities of the Department of Human Settlements, and it should not only be the responsibility of human settlements. There are a lot of other departments that also should contribute to these outputs. The progress, a challenge of human settlements is to develop quality measurable indicators that are aligned to actions that have been identified. The indicators are really not reflecting what the department should measure. So they are almost like just indicators, but they're not really something that can contribute to anybody to make a judgment call whether they make progress on their actions. Several departments started, DPE told us that several departments started a review of process of the NCSS, which should be monitored closely. I added this to this outcome because of the bad quality of the NCSA framework for human settlements. And this might be the reason why they're not reporting on 2015-16, because everybody is now busy revising in a five-year period. Since they do a lot of revisions and changing indicators and targets, it will actually be very difficult for any committee or any oversight body to make a judgment call on the progress that we've made in this five-year period if they're already revising now, because they realize they can't report on them or not relevant indicators or targets. In terms of outcome 9, there is alignment between the there was some alignment, but two of the things that did not align is the sidelining of political administrative enterprise or achieving the developmental potential of Fed and aid prices. The comparison showed alignment with making the public service and local government careers of choice and improving relations between national, provincial and local government. The medium-term strategic framework for outcome 9 basically just concentrates on the mandate of local government. It doesn't really concentrate on what was recommended by the NDP. The medium-term, yes, I've just said that, the actions in the NDP are not always in line with the outcomes. Yeah, the quality of the information is also not very good. Let's have outcomes for outcome 12, and effectively and efficient development-oriented public service are also derived from the same chapter. So some of the actions that are recommended in Chapter 13 will be taken up in Outcome 12. Because both these outcomes are linked to Chapter 13 of the NDP. Outcome 10 shows good alignment, progress in most of the targets to protect and enhance our environment. Assets and natural resources are only set for 2018-19. In some instances, they reported progress on these targets for 2018-19, but we did not take them into consideration. We only took the 2014-15 targets for this report. 11, to create a better South Africa, contribute to a better and safe Africa. There is alignment between the documents. A few areas not addressed by the action of the cluster is focusing on trade penetration and diplomatic presence in fast-growing markets such as Asia, Brazil, and Africa, implementing a focused regional integration strategy, which includes the reduction of red tape, reducing corruption, reducing delays at border posts. There are no indicators that we can trace whether we improve on those things. In terms of progress, the NTSF report, the Program of Action report, reflects a lot of narrative reporting on the targets, which makes it very difficult to judge whether they've achieved the targets or not. And there's a lot of duplication in terms of their reporting. So the same progress reports are reflected in different indicators. So the question is, are all those indicators then relevant if the progress are exactly the same for three of them? We're almost done, members, as well. The session shows alignment. Areas not presented in the NTSF relates to the enhancement of the role of the Public Service Commission, development of regional utilities to use to improve local government services, the strengthening and resourcing of the National Anti-Corruption Forum, centralization of oversight of tenders, and then an accountable framework should be developed for public servants, and all corrupt officials should be made individually liable for all losses incurred as a result of the corruption action. In terms of 13, an inclusive reform to social protection system, there's alignment. An area in the NDP not fully addressing the NTSF is mechanisms and incentives to assist the unemployed to assess the labour market. This again is a difficult one because we can't only give responsibility to social development to do this. Other departments are also responsible to assist the people with unemployed. Projects that still need to be strengthened are start well said and ready to legislate policy reform and capacity building. We can't measure that. Community development, interventions, deepening social assistance and expanding access to social security. Optimal systems to strengthen coordination, integration, plan monitoring and evaluation of social protection services. 14, the last one in terms of nation building. There are alignments between the NDP and NCF. One concern that I picked up in this one is that in terms of the responsibility of improvement of the importance of the Employment Equity Act, the department responsible for this are not part of that cluster or listed in the framework as one of the members of the cluster. In terms of the progress, most of the targets not achieved for South Outcome 3 and 4 in this medium-term strategic framework relates to municipal responsibility. But the question again is, do they really supposed to be with the group, or can we look at things to some of the others, the local government outcome, for example? In addition to achievements, it should be noted that in several instances, progress reporting does not rely to the requirements of the indicator. Again, this is a quality issue. The consolidation of some indicators could improve efficiency and results. It's almost the indicators reflect a lot of actions and they duplication. So some of things can really be consolidated into one well-defined quality indicator that is measurable. So what is the way forward? We've done a series of supporting reports. We presented the highlights today to this committee. And we just want, as we indicated already, the revision of the NTSS. We don't know when we're going to see that meeting in the strategic framework because the current one has been approved by Cabinet and by Parliament, accepted by Parliament. And if we really want to ensure effective synergies between sectoral plans and performance budgets, the planning process will need to be fully integrated into the budget cycle. So what we also aim to do is to try and see what the alignment is between the NTSS and the current ACTs. But if we don't bring all these indicators and targets into the budget cycle, we will never be able to reach those targets, because if it's not there, then it's not funded, and we can't mirror whether we actually achieve the targets of the NDP. And the PBO really would welcome any suggestions from members, how we can improve, how we can take this progress further. And one possibility is that, or suggestion that we also are making, is that we as members, we as Parliament, you as members, try and develop indicators that will be useful to you as members to monitor the progress on the National Development Plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any addition from all of you? No. Okay. Honourable members, there you have it. Let's get to a discussion. I see the first and Honourable Sheikh Imam. Who else? All right, for now, let's allow Honourable Sheikh Imam to... Honourable Sheikh, you are next. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, PBO, for your valuable presentation. Indeed, I think it gives us an insight as to really what is going on, and more importantly, what we should do to correct them now and not wait till 2019 and found that we haven't achieved most of these things. But I'm not really going to go into the merits, because I think it's given us the reasons why there are some challenges, and of course we need to address them with the relevant department and those responsible. But I just a few questions for you in terms of how you can assist us. Do you believe that it is necessary for us to really look at the NDP to see whether it is realistic in achieving what we need, and if not, we should be addressing and trying to make relevant changes? The other thing is, it would look like there's existing measures in place to monitor the justice is inadequate, because it's really not happening. As much as I think the NDP is a fantastic piece of document from what I can see, and it achieved really create a much better life for people, so I think we must commend people for plan in any event. But you know, plan is only successful if you implement it. So and I think the measures are not. What do you suggest we do? What measures can we put in place to try and address these things, you know, at a relevant time, so that it does not actually get out of hand? And then finally, do you believe in all your investigation? The challenges seem to be, is it resources, is it capacity, is it because of the lack of oversight, or is it a combination of that that's actually contributing to the outcomes being as low as it is? Thank you, Chair. I'll stop there.
Another speaker.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Apologies for being late. There are some challenges that I had this morning, but nevertheless. Chair? Yeah. We always be useful information from the PO, and I understand that, you know, I'm not so sure whether we need to look at how we operate, because I'm not so sure to what extent we use this information to do our oversight work, and maybe that's a challenge we also need to look at. I do understand we don't have enough days in the week and weeks a year, but maybe we need to look at our strategic plan to see how we're going to implement what we get from, because it's obviously a lot of hard work that goes into, and time that goes into these analysis, and not do anything with it, sort of just negates the value of what we get. So I just wanted to talk about that. And the other comment, and I'm not saying that Honorable Sheikh Imam is incorrect in saying that, I mean, he asked the question with regards to whether we should be changing or re-looking at the goals that are set out in the NPR. I'm not so sure. You know, I also gave that some thought sometimes, but for me, I don't believe we should rather make sure that those goals that have been set out in terms of the NDC, we need to make sure the client gets to achieving those goals. That's just the way I see it, in order to, because it, there was a purpose for that. And I mean, we had many nice people who developed this NDC. So that plan, for me, I think we should rather, instead of minimizing that plan and looking at setting lesser goals, I think we must rather look at those goals that have been set, trying to achieve that. If we don't get there, another story, but trying to look at not achieving those goals, it's really going to be a waste of time that has been, you know, in terms of what those wise men and women envisage in terms of the NDP. So that's as far as that is concerned. I just want to make some comments with regards to the actual presentation. On slide number 5 here, just a comment here, you know, if you look at the percentage achieved, obviously now those are very low. Meaning some instances, and I know there have been explanations given as to why they were low, but I'm appealing to who all the whole players here is, don't just leave it there now and say, okay, well, it's low, and so, okay, fine. Next year we get another report to say it's low, and so forth. I think we really need to do our job, our work, and try and see how do we improve those figures. So that's just my appeal and a comment that I have with regards to those low achievements. On slide number 8, this is just clarification. I see the third bullet point, or call it the second sub-bullet point, talk about the screening of grade 1 and 8. I see the percentages given there are 23 and 8.6, and the achievement is 30. The target is 30, against an achievement of 23, which is lower. And then the other target, 25, we receive the low percentage of 8.6 is correct. Maybe my comment is very solid, but I think it's very low. So, and again, I mean, you have that information, so it doesn't help me. I think, again, my comment will be also similar to that. We need to look up together to get those percentages up. I mean, even if you look at the last two bullet points and my comments on that, I mean, it's a life-threatening target, you know, and you have, we just achieving a target is a challenge. There's a reason. Whoever set those targets must have reasons, and they must have done research as to what the target should be. So, again, I'm going to repeat myself saying that by saying, okay, 1 million target, I mean, children, fatality rate for children under 5 years, result of malnutrition, malnutrition, it's something that is avoidable. So, you know, we just need to use, as I said, this information to and get all the stakeholders to ensure that this doesn't repeat itself next year. Honorable Chair, slide number 11, talked about the net fresh students that should have access to bank loans backed by state surety. Again, it's something that is unavoidable. So is it happening? If it's not happening, you know, we had a good strategic planning session last year. I think we need to implement that and go forward in ensuring, you know, it's easy sitting here and coming every day, and we have meetings, and we have presentations by stakeholders, and then we put the thing, most of us put this presentation in our cupboard somewhere, and we don't see it again. I think we really need to look at how we can assist the people out there. They have no say. We are the ones that are representing them, yes. So we need to really, it's getting slide number 12, this is regarding the increasing percentage of graduates with ICT skills, yes, of course, but perhaps we need to look at other skills. It's, you know, do some sort of needs analysis as well. Because, I mean, if you look at our universities are full, they're overflowing. Some people are not getting in there. There is a possibility that those that are not getting in there are wanting to acquire skills that might be needed in the community. So maybe an analysis needs to be done as to what are the skills that are needed, because we have a shortage of skills in certain areas, and are those skills being taken up by the university? Are they advertising for those skills? Because you can give an example. I was a university lecturer, so I know what happens. So you have somebody that comes there with an ATP score, which far exceeds the requirement, and then he applies for a certain position or qualification, and they say, sorry, we are full. And that's it. Surely that person could possibly then be encouraged, but hang on, there's another area that you might want to look at. You might not necessarily, not everybody that has 40 points that necessarily wants to become a doctor, medical doctor, so forth. So they might be other skills. I mean, there's an example, ICT skills. So we need to look at what is the shortage of skill in the economy, and direct the learners, the university, potential university students in that direction. Okay, I'm nearly done. Slide number 16. Yeah, this, of course, a lot of potential employees look to public service for whatever reason, security, etc. Does our budget accommodate that? Because we've had a recent example where we had to go into our contingency reserves, fund our wage bill. Now, fine. Everybody wants to work for government, which is good, but do we have the capacity in our budget to employ those people? So it's good around making public service and local government careers of choice, but I see we're talking about the target here. Last two, Jack. I don't know what you're saying. Oh, yeah. We speak about, on slide number 18, the focusing trade on trade penetration and diplomatic presence in fast-growing markets, and we give examples. But we need to also be careful here in advising the people. I read this morning that we are now wanting to increase the duty on the importation of steel. Now, we talk about access to other markets, but we are preventing other markets from entering our economy. I understand we need to protect the local content and local, but we need to make sure that balance is there. And here, lastly, this social security is problematic. The beneficiary of the social security, in most instances, unless I'm seeing it's wrong, is that they don't receive what is due to them. So maybe we need to look at the modus of payment. I know in the past they used to use ShopRite or Click and Pay, and now they're using the banks. But if you look at the banks, who is holding those cards of these social beneficiaries, the beneficiaries of social security? Most of the times you're looking at your loan sharks. So one person goes there and stands with a number of cards. So it's sad that the beneficiaries of the social security is not receiving. So one maybe needs to look at how that can be improved. Thank you, Jefferson.
Okay. Anyone wants to on your Majoba?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks to the presenter. Parliamentary study office, this is as usual. You know, you always provide the useful information to us. But we are also having a concern, you know. I think the presenter correctly indicated to say that even though we look at the progress and the target and achievement, but it may not be reliable information because of the lack of getting information sometimes within the system. There is nothing reported and so on. So which put us in a difficult position to know exactly whether these are real achievements. But there was also a question to say that no one is playing an oversight on the entity. Can I check is not supposed to be the Department of Monitoring Evaluation that is supposed to be really doing an oversight on the NDP, because I think we need to call them if they are responsible to really understand what is happening. We can't, you know, have so many outcomes without the indicators to measure it, whether there is progress. I think it's a concern that we are all having, as the PPO is also having that concern, to say that even to their work that they are doing, it becomes very difficult to produce reliable information that, you know, at a parliament you can go out and say, these are the actual. Because what is appearing here really is something that you can't stand on two legs and say, this is what is happening. So I think if it is this department that is supposed to deal with the oversight on the NDP, because as the colleagues were saying, you know, these objectives of the NDP are the objectives that are supposed to be realized. But if there are no indicators, how do you really measure whether we are moving forward as a country or backward, that we have approved this NDP going forward? And I think, Honorable Chair, one propose that because this information, they have done what they have to do to keep people, if they can't go beyond that, if there is no information. But we need to really call the people that are supposed to do the oversight on this and account on this, because we also knew that when there was this monitoring and evaluation, we are not going to have the planning with silos and so on. It was going to be something that government, you know, speaking with one voice around the issue and understanding. But you can see the non-issue, the concern to me, is the issue of duplication. We are having scarce resources. You know, if we can't put that indicator into one, you know, to say deal with this indicator, and you see Molanyana unit dealing with the very same thing and duplication, I think it's a concern, it's really a concern that I think we really need to call this department, even if it is not with accounting, because our understanding is supposed to play an oversight in all these particular matters. Thank you.
Honorable Shopperswala.
Thank you, Chairperson, for this opportunity. I just want to thank the PBO for this, because to me it's very useful. It's an eye-opener, and you actually told us that there is no oversight on the NDP, which is very sad. And I would like to support my comrade, Honorable Mashoka. We need to call this Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. And if they don't know, we need to remind them that it is their act, and we expect them to do just that. You know, the committees of the legislature are empowered to do oversight over departments, and it is precisely to change the direction and make sure that departments do what they are supposed to do. The Department of Monitoring and Evaluation need to be able to tell us issues of the NDP, up-to-date issues, not even 2014. We need them to be spot on the 2015-2016 issues. That is what we want. Secondly, I would like to actually thank my dear friend, Honorable Sikh, and congratulate him on the issue that he has brought, which was not part of this newspaper article that you read about steel rights. And, you know, I think we can have an engagement on that issue. And maybe I can prepare a paper for you or complete a fee. You see, developed countries, England, the UK, and America, they developed through protecting their industries. And there's a whole lot of information on that issue. And we are a developing country. We're not developed yet. We're a developing country. There is a good guy, but Professor Hajin Chan, a professor in Cambridge University, that will actually give you information on this, about the norms, the developed countries actually stopping or advising developing countries not to use the methods that they have used themselves to develop. And I think we should get everyone in this committee to talk about that. Thank you.
I just wanted to find out on slide 6, for instance, that last bullet. You know, when you the outcome, the assessment outcomes, as you say, the results have always been poor. I cannot recall a year on which we had that honors results are getting better. And perhaps the tool itself might need to be revisited. Because if you talk to teachers on the ground, they will tell you that this is a very frustrating exercise. And I'm not sure whether there's any assessment that has been made on the tool itself, and if the tool is correct, what else needs to be done to make it to make it easier for teachers to implement this thing, and for learners to reflect better outcomes. I haven't anything to add, anything to that effect. I'm wondering whether you have had a look into that area of work. On higher education, slide 12. That centralized application system was announced about 2 years or 3 years back or so, at a time when there was that stampede and the challenge that it caused. Are you suggesting that it's not implemented yet, or is it not fully functional? And on the rest of the other issues, for instance, increasing the percentage of graduates with ICT skills and other skills. I think never have asked this question last year when the Fit Must Fall issue came up. And members were asking whether our universities are producing skills that are relevant to the economy and relevant to other aspects of social life, if I may jump broadly say so. Because there is this challenge of a lot of graduates not getting employed as well. But equally, the challenge of our graduates not being taught innovative skills of pursuing other employment opportunities. So the bigger question, therefore, is, I think Scotty did say this just now, an analysis of the skills produced by the higher education university and the needs of the economy and social needs as well. Because look at these skills relevant to the economy, to the needs of the economy, and not looking at other social needs. May not necessarily give us the best society that we are looking for, that we are working for. So there is need to really revisit, to look at the criteria. The issue, and this is the last issue I want to raise, the issue around creating decent work through inclusive growth. You make very important observations there. And and a number of pronouncements have been made. For instance, the question of the issue of revisiting the regulatory framework in order to facilitate the ease of doing business, including cheaper ways of doing business and so on. There are also targets that have been put forward, for instance, a 30% target of procurement targeting the SMEs, the 60% of jobs allocated to youth, infrastructure, for example. Have those things, is there no indication that those things have started, you know, moving forward? Because it could raise another question whether we have the relevant regulations that facilitate the implementation of some of the proposals that have been put forward for about 2 to 3 years now. And if relevant departments are not trusting the relevant regulations that should facilitate offering, would that be an area that you might look at, or if not, that you would want to look at? Because I think that part of the frustration is how government, through regulation, or even through new bills coming to Parliament, that must be processed to facilitate economic growth, to facilitate the growth of the microeconomic sector in the country. Those are things that I think need to be looked into. Thank you. Can you hand over to yourself?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Historian. Thank you for the excellent question. I think let's start by indicating, and I think all the honourable members mentioned this, is the issue of oversight over the NDP. And I think that's the critical part. Is, you know, I think we've been duped into thinking that committees with departments come chair will exercise that oversight of the NDP. But I might be getting old and a bit, you know, but it was like with the RDP as well. You know, people would come and they say, well, according to the RDP, this is the stand, therefore. So they pay lip services almost in that sense. And the problem is, Chair, they give you piecemeal information. So it'll be one department saying, well, these are outcome 12 and this is where we slot into. So there's very little information about how they slot and what they've achieved. So I think that's the first thing, Honourable Chair, is how do we exercise this oversight? Do we do it in our committees? Or do we form a special committee, which I think also the Speaker and the Chair of the NCLP are also considering very seriously in this case, you know. And who's responsible for the NDP? It's the leader of government business, Chair. That should come and account, you know, or whether they have a secretariat as well, a planning commission,
And I think the information is collected through DPME. So there seems to be a kind of institutional organization out there that is responsible for even giving that information through. So I think that's the first point we need to consider. The second thing is our methodology. As you all know, as academics and as intellectuals, you are all using a methodology. I mean, Dr. Shop has already mentioned the issue of, you know, how economies develop behind the text of trade barriers. So that's the methodology that I think most people will follow. In our case, we've indicated what our methodology is. It's up to whoever's responsible for collecting the information and putting it together on the NDP to prove us wrong on this. And they might come and say, oh, well, you know, although we reported zero, you should have said this, and these are the reasons why. And this is the methodology. They haven't done this so far. So, for want of a better term, I think what we have now is probably the best at this stage, unless they come up and they give us better information, better methodology, etc. I also think the issue of information fatigue is another critical thing. There's a lot of information generated by a lot of different departments, and we seem to scatter this all over the globe. You know, we don't know where it comes together and who doesn't and who pulls it. So how we centralize all that information as well is critical. Shall I hand over to Nidia to maybe respond to that issue?
Yes, in terms of Honorable Shazman asking whether there is capacity or not, one of the priorities in this budget is to capacitate the DPME. It's for the monitoring and evaluation. But one other issue with DPME, they started with evaluations of the performance of programs already. But if you read those, they come and present those evaluations to Parliament. But in my view, they are not very successful because most of the, they can't really make recommendations because most of the results at the end of the day or the conclusion is that there wasn't enough quality information to really say that they've achieved that program. But it's not just about doing an evaluation at the end of the day, after 5 or 6 or 10 years, after you've spent a lot of money and then realize that you can't really evaluate if you performed on this program because there's no data or quality information to make a judgment call whether you've made progress or achieved the program. The evaluation should start with the draft reports already, the draft plans. Those plans should be evaluated and determined and changed so that it's quality reports or quality plans, and then we will be sure that we will be able to do evaluation after 5 or 10 years and make a judgment call whether we've made progress. So that's one of the things that I was thinking about the DPME and how to improve the process of making or ensure that we implement our plans. Make sure that the original plan is a quality document that is measurable. That will make your life easier as well to monitor and evaluate. One of the others, use information for oversight. I think this, on which is, Shetopi said that this is really a start of this whole process. We can repeat it if we get new information. We want to expand on this, but it's a start and we've started the discussion about this. And if you engage the department and tell them, wow, you've only achieved 10% of your targets, it's almost like a wake-up call for them as well. And if you tell the department you don't have quality indicators, it will also be a wake-up call. So you will force them to go back to develop quality indicators and to report in a better way. And that is also what we want them to do in terms of the reporting and plans that they develop.
Thank you, Honourable members and colleagues. I just touch on a few points. I think the issue of quality of information is very important, and we've all been addressing it. And I think there are institutions that definitely produce some of this work, or assess, for example. I think HSA does some work as well. So, the chair, when you look at, when the committee look at this, some of these departments, budgets, and they look at HSA's project support, because they do annually produce some of these, assess the quality of information produced by the department. So, that will also be helpful to avoid duplication from the work there. One point I want to just touch on it, the point raised on the higher education and skills and all that. I think what government does as far as I'm concerned, they try to guide what skills the curriculum needs by funding particular programs. So they do that in a sense. They try to guide, say, new engineers, as a result, we're going to put more funding, whatever it is in that environment. I think they're trying to say, is Parliament able to say, has that been achieved? That's a more worrying fact to say. You have been guiding what skills need to be produced by funding different programs. Has that been achieved over time? So I think that's a key issue. And also, I think FSC has done some papers well in that area to look at what skills have been funded by government, or what is the government's funding strategy in terms of guiding what skills the economy wants. So I think the more important thing to say, what has government funded to date? How does that contribute towards the skills needed by the economy? So that aspect has been done. But just from the outside side today, Parliament needs to call government and say, look, you have funded these skills. Are they contributing to the economy or not? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, one last point from our side is the issue that both Honourable Imam Sheikh and Honourable Ofik raised and Honourable Shofar Dikoli is the issue of whether we should visit and revisit the targets again and if they are realistic or not. And I think Honourable Fick is totally right. You know, there was a panel of experts that sat and they developed the panel or the NDP, the consultants, etc. I think where the problem lies is exactly the issue that we pointed out here, is how they define the indicators. Is that clear? Is the information available? You know, is there someone who can generate that information accurately and timelessly? Is the quality information that we are getting, that we can report on these things? And then to say, given all this, are we going to, because I think the plan is 2030, if I'm not mistaken, not far away, you know, and we already caught 3/4 of the way there, and I don't know how much has been achieved from this, clearly not much. So someone somewhere is going to have to say, you're not achieving. You know, you can't have children in our country, which is a so-called second world type of malnutrition. That's not on. You know, so somebody's going to have to raise issues. Never mind, you know, whether we're scared or whether information is right or wrong. The fact of the matter is, you're not delivering on the NDP. And you can't intellectualize it much either. So, and if someone's going to have to say, well, let's take stock of where we are, and let's relook the objectives of the NDP, because of, you know, 10 years left, then we need to do that. Let's cut it down, let's make it shorter, let's, you know, make it more achievable. And those issues are critical to in this regard, you know. But to continue blindly and hopefully by 2030 achieve, and we haven't done anything, I think that's all the travesty of justice. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think when you commented on capacity, but given the fact that the Minister said we're going to restrict new appointments and, you know, take off employing managers and things like that, what effect is this going to have? That's the first thing. And secondly, I want to agree with you that I was clearly not saying that we must do that, but what I'm saying is we need to be realistic. You put a plan for 2030, and a lot of the things you plan today, even in your own life, you're not able to achieve. So you need to at some step become realistic. What is more important? Do I need to give somebody water or do I need to give them clothes? What if you can't survive with clothes? If you want to have one set, you can survive. So I think generally in a nutshell, that's what I'm saying, that we need to be more realistic. It needs to be amended so that we achieve the important things for people on the ground. And I'm not saying eradicate the others, but maybe you could, you know, prioritize, you understand, so that we could actually go as close as possible. But ultimately, yes, we should plan to want to achieve the anything, but it's just from what you see and the information you're giving us, and I think you are aware, it's not going to be next, whether we like it or not. So we must be realistic and address it. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Speak and Honourable Shopperson, Honourable Mr. Nokonya.
Honourable Chair,
nothing personal against Honorable Sheikh Imam. The implementation of the NP was 2030. So let me remind that we are 3 years into it of 17. So I think it's much too early to now say that, of course, we need to bear in mind that that's a possibility. But if we're going to go to it with that mindset that we're not going to achieve, that's not even a fifth of the time. I think we need to work hard because there was a reason for setting those targets. It's not just, okay, well, we sit down and we sit in town. So I thought it's still too early to look at revising the plan. I think it's time to start looking at achieving the plan.
Thank you, Chairperson. For the first time, I agree with you, my friend. And I was thinking aloud here on this issue of skills, that perhaps we need, as this committee, to call business, academia, and government together. Because I think that the government is doing a lot of work towards that. And I also think that business wants to grow our economy. I suspect the culprit is the investors. They might not be knowing what business really wants. I think that the three must be brought to this committee so that they understand one another. Because funds are being given to universities to do this work. And we do have a lot of graduation parties every year. But after the party, no job. Well, why is that? So I think we need to arrest the bus. It's not because we don't have money, and it is not because students are not willing to learn, but they are learning. It might be they are trained on skills that are not very much relevant to the requirements of industry.
Just on that point, I recall, I think around December 2013, 350 expatriates coming back, 350,000 expatriates coming back into the country. And by end of January, all of them were employed. What does that tell you? There are jobs in this country, but the skills are letting us down. Honorable Snowden.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. As I said, I've been thinking also in terms of, first I know we've discussed the issue of target, which I believe that departments do set unrealistic targets, because if you look at the achieved, I mean the percentages are just ridiculous. But also, I imagine that the department has got annual performance plans, and those annual performance plans should really guide what they do, and I don't understand why they would do so badly. But you also mentioned the fact that sometimes they don't report. I mean, the MDP came, but it found the department existing. It's not as if the MDP as a policy just arrived in a vacuum where there were no departments. I mean, we've been here. The department has been here. And people tend to, departments tend to be as if now, it's only now that they're starting to work. And if they can't set targets and they cannot do so, then we have serious problems. I'm looking at a number of issues that have not been addressed by different departments. This is a general comment that if there are so many issues that have not, the shortcomings, I think you put in the shortcomings, those shortcomings, if there are so many, I mean, where are we going with this department? And I'm glad, I think, also mentioned the issue of portfolio committees, because that's what was in my head also. I was thinking, what do our committees then do if all these things are happening under each end? Because I imagine that those are the people that should actually play a leading role in identifying these things, so that even when they come to us, they've already been engaged upon. And then I also just want to, you know, I'm at the grade R-level at this time, the issue of reporting templates. Do we have reporting templates that are prescribed so that people can also report in according to the language.
The bill, do you want to comment?
Just answer the question on the reporting template. There is a template for bathrooms to report on. But one of the other issues now, as well as you're now discussing these issues, is that the NDP and NDSF use a different terminology than what they use in the ABC. I think one of the recommendations of the committee can also be that we start using the same terminology. All of us know the terminology that we use in the ABC. We know we've got a goal, we've got a strategic objective, and it's got indicators. Now the medium-term strategic framework talks about sub-outcomes, actions, indicators, and then that's got the targets. But how do we align that as well? According to the ABC, there's a good alignment between ABCs and the medium-term strategic framework. So then it's almost one document. But we are also planning to do that exercise. So we don't know whether the sub-outcomes in the NTSF reflects the objectives in the APD. Because we might just make up our own minds about it, but we don't know. I think it's time that we also bring those things and use the same terminology that we know. A sub-outcome is this, and then the sub-outcome is an objective and it links to sub-program whatever in the APP and in the budget. So at the end of the day, we can also do the assessment whether we spend money in terms of those outputs.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Back to the point that the Honourable Padlova made also about who's responsible, is it DPME or not, Honourable Fitcher. And I think here's the problem is that, and the APP is vulnerable, the issue of the how you define the indicators, you know, that they define for themselves, how departments define it, how we define it, etc., etc. All these things need to come together because, in other words, they seem to be speaking different languages to each other. And we're trying to make sense of it. And we shouldn't. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be a difficult exercise. You know, that or complicated one to say, this is the target. This is what we're supposed to achieve, and this is what we've achieved. You know, instead of, and I think we overcomplicate the issues in our country. If you look at, you know, South Africans are really, we like overcomplicating stuff. We have inputs, outputs, outcomes, etc., you know, and we have all these intellectuals bringing all these kind of different ideas, and formats, and frameworks, and we get lost in it. You know, so my key is to, for us, if it's DPME, let's call them in and engage them and say, you need to sort this out. You need to make things easy. It's not just them. I mean, National Treasury does exactly the same, you know, complicated information. And it's not necessary, but I think maybe use this as an exercise here to pull them in line and to make things a bit more. I mean, we don't understand half the stuff ourselves, you know. So, thank you, Chief.
I'd like to then thank the Parliamentary Budget Office, all four of you, for making yourself available today. And we will be making further, having further engagement with yourself on other issues. Thank you very much. We would like to release you so that we can just wind up the business. Thank you very much.